Let us look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs. I understand the Irish folk have a dish they call panado. And my impression is that it's a bowl of bread and milk. The Glasgow folk, they used to call it set. Well, I must admit the Irish people have a little fancier name for it. And we'll try to give you a little bit of that this morning. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rock. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by band. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in king's palaces. It may seem remarkable to us that God in His Word should direct our minds to things that seem so small. And yet, this is certainly part of what we read of in the New Testament. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope, as patience might have hope. And therefore, there must be something in these things that we have clustered here in this chapter. We understand that the Proverbs are the writings of Solomon, and yet these two opposing chapters seem to have a little different character to them than the general run of the book. There are, as we know, many of us will know, there are six clusters of fours in this chapter. And we just want to refer to the one that we've read. And we could think of them as four insignificant things. But one thing that is said about them all is that they are wise. Verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Now, of course, that has to be a comparative statement because we're speaking about very small creatures in God's creation. Their wisdom is displayed in their characteristics and in their actions. And I've been thinking of them and enjoying them a little lately in this way, that in regard to the ants, we have wisdom as to sustenance. In regard to the conies, we can see wisdom displayed as to safety or security. In regard to the locusts, we have wisdom brought before us in connection with unity. And in the spiders, I have classified it in this way, we have wisdom as to its activity. Now, you know, God does not overlook these little creatures. And men, and naturalists particularly, have no doubt studied them for years. And it's intriguing sometimes to read a little bit about the features of these little creatures in God's creation. When we think about verse 24 about the ants, we think of that word in the sixth chapter of Proverbs, by the way. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no guide or overseer or ruler, and yet she prepares her meat in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. Now, in thinking of this in a spiritual sense, we as God's people, we require spiritual sustenance. if we're going to remain healthy. You know, some people are concerned about obesity and others ought to be that maybe aren't physically. But you know, a person can overdo it too in regard to starving themselves and actually injuring their health as far as that is concerned. But I'm sure that there are none of us that are too fat spiritually. That's one thing to be sure about. And therefore, sustenance is a very important thing for us as the people of God, that our spiritual life may be sustained in a healthy, active, wholesome condition. And so God says the ants are, about the ants here, He says they are a people that are not strong. Now, just think of God speaking of them as a people that are not strong. When we were boys, we used to study the anthill sometimes and see those little creatures. And we thought, in comparison to them, to their size, sometimes they were plenty strong enough. But this is used in a comparative way. We think of these little creatures, and they have a built-in wisdom in connection with preparing and providing for a time of need in the future. Now, I believe that meetings like this can become a season like that for God's people when we can gather food, spiritual food, that we can make use of in days to come. And so we find here that this is what the thought is here in regard to them. They're not strong, that is, their strength is small. They have little strength. But they use the opportunity of gathering substance and gathering sustenance. And when we think of some of the statements of people in the Old Testament about the Scriptures, I think of what Job said in chapter 23 of his book, where he says that he esteemed God's Word more than his necessary food. Now, when you think about him, we usually consider that there was none of the Word of God written as we have it yet in existence. And so it would seem to indicate that he did have some communication from God. And although there was perhaps none of the written word at that time, I have no doubt that God communicated with those who knew him. He made known himself to them, and that they personally were acquainted with God. We consider Job as a godly Ishmaelite. If I have the right term there. But anyway, we think of how the ants here are those who use the opportunity of gathering food for their soul. And that word esteem here means it has the thought of treasuring up. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you and I have an appreciation of the Word of God like that? You know, when it comes to mealtime, there's not many of us move too slowly around here anyway, it seems, except those who can't move any faster. But I'll tell you, when the food is time to get the food, there's usually a movement on. Well, what about the spiritual food? Am I in as big a hurry to be here? I know in our younger days, why? We were keen to get there and be there at every meeting if we could and be there on time because we just didn't want to miss any of us. And you know, when I just reflect now upon those early years of Christian living, why the conferences that were held regularly and annually in certain places, what an opportunity it was for us to get our hungry souls fed. We used to read the Bible, of course, and we didn't get very much out of it. Young in years, and hadn't gone as far through school as most of people do nowadays, and yet there was an opportunity, like the ants, we could gather food. And so here's Job, and he esteemed, or he treasured up, the Word of God more than his necessary food. Now, that's a comparative word too, more. Now, we do need food. We need that to which to keep our body going in a good state. But The Word of God is so essential, brethren. And I wonder, is there the possibility that we may attend meetings and yet in our private lives there's a danger of neglecting the consistent, consecutive reading of Holy Scripture and getting food for our souls. You know, we run a terrific risk when we start out on a day's activity and we haven't got something from heaven. You know, as young Christians, I remember one time crossing over the North Vancouver Ferry, we used to have to do at 20 to 7 in the morning to go to work. And we met one of the older brethren who was on the same line of business. I mean, he was on his way to his job too. And he asked us this morning, he said, "Where were you reading this morning?" You know, I don't know if young people get asked that or not. Sometimes we refrain from asking them because we feel we're going to embarrass them. But you know, it might be a good thing to be embarrassed once in a while. Well, that morning we happened to have read in Ezekiel. Not because we knew much about Ezekiel, nor even yet for that matter. But you know, consistently we started in Genesis and we were in Ezekiel by this time. And we couldn't tell him anything about it. Well, he says, "You just keep on reading it," he said. "Keep on reading it, and the time will come when you'll begin to understand. You'll begin to see connections and how that one scripture will link up with another one." And first of all, brethren, there's no doubt about it that what we need more than anything else is an appetite for the Word of God. He used to tell us as children, or somebody asked a question at a children's retreat one time, "What should you bring when you come to a Sunday school treat?" And you know, some tried to answer one way and another. Well, the real answer was, bring a good big appetite. That's what children come with, a good big appetite. And so that if we come with an appetite for the Word of God, I don't think we'll be overcritical. I believe we need to be able to discern when men are speaking the truth of God or whether they're in touch with God or not. Because as we get older and more mature, we felt we'll be better able to assess ministry. You know, there are some people and everything they hear, why, it just takes them up into the third heaven. I don't know how long they stay there, but it seems to take them up there. And you know, in the estimation of some of us at times, I don't know how it got them so high. Because it seems as though there are times when we all miss it in regard to we do not have the mind of God and we're not always in touch with God. So if you think it's an easy thing to get up here every year and address the people of God, you better have another thing coming because it requires exercise and waiting on God. And it's good to see that too, that men are not in a hurry to get on their feet. And so here is this little creature, so small. There it is, and no matter how many of them there are people not strong. There's not just one of them. They're never isolated. They're by the hundreds. And they're all doing the same thing. They're amassing, they're gathering that spiritual food for a time when it may not be available. That is natural food to them. Oh, brethren, may God help us to have wisdom. These people are exceeding wise because of the fact that they want food. And therefore, we notice that they're wise as to getting sustenance when it is available. Of course, it's not only available in meetings like this, but I think perhaps it wouldn't be out of place to say a word about our reading matter as well. Now, this is the time when we get all kinds of mail. We call it junk mail, because a lot of it is. But we get advertisements about spiritual things and books and papers and all this kind of thing. And over the air, people hear it. You've got to get this book and it'll help you this way and that way and the other way. But oh, brethren, I think we need to be selective in what we read. I know there are not too many modern day writers among us, not as many perhaps as there should be, that can put things down in book capacity. But at the same time, brethren, be selective in what you read. And see to it that the author is sound and reliable and dependable. You need to have discernment and maturity to be able sometimes to know whether ministry, the written ministry, whether it's sound or not. Be careful these days and don't just go for everything that's highly advertised. And sometimes it has given us a measure of joy when younger brethren have come to us and asked us as to what books are good to have and what books should we have. And although we never claim to be an authority on books because we don't read a great deal of them comparatively, but at the same time, it's good to see that people want to be selective as to where they're going to get their spiritual sustenance. Then when we come to the conies in verse 26, the conies are but a feeble hope. And here they are, they're clustered together again. They're not isolated, but a feeble hope. We read here, yet make they their houses in the rock. And so I would gather from this, they're a creature, I think something after the style of a rabbit, I understand, but they know their weakness. They're aware of how vulnerable they are to enemies. And therefore, it isn't likely they get very far from the rock, where they can just get into that hole in the rock there and nothing can touch them. And so they hear, they're wise as to safety or security. Oh, brethren, when we think of the need of Scripture today, the need of being well versed in it, our only safety from the many things that are flooding the market and brought before us all the time that are not wholesome, we certainly need to have the Word of God to protect us and preserve us from being led astray. Well, thank God for the safety and security that is available to us. The psalmist seemed to know what that was at times when he said, I flee unto thee to hide me. How often he spoke about God as his refuge in many different circumstances in life. And brethren, when we get into tight corners, when we get into difficulties, when we don't know what to do, and we hardly know where to go to or who to go to, thank God we can go to the Lord. He is the one who is the rock of ages. And thank God we can go to Him. Now I know that word rock of ages is a marginal reading, the Newbery margin for Isaiah 26 and 4. And thank God for the one who is the rock of ages. And we sing at times, oh, say to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. God is a refuge for us. And in times of difficulty, when our minds perhaps are unsettled and we wonder, is this true or is that true or can I depend on this? Brethren, go to the Lord. We can always find safety and security at hand for us so that we can be sure of being protected. We need protection. And so that these conies here, we find that they make their houses in the rock. That's where they spend a good deal of their time. They're safe from enemies all around us. We have a lot of enemies today, as we know spiritually, and there are so many voices that are claiming our attention when it comes to the right ways of the Lord. The Lord help us then to have wisdom, to be able just to go to the Word of God. Test everything by Scripture. And if you're not able to give an answer, go to someone that you know can help you with the Word of God and give you the right answer. You know, to refer to our own experience as young believers, at an early age we were working out with ungodly men all day long and trying to be a little testimony among them. Why, there was, I think of one man in particular, an ungodly man he was, but he had a knowledge of the Bible to some extent and he used to put things out to us that we just couldn't answer then. But you see, it drove us to the book. And sometimes to ask our brethren, how do you handle this? And you know, we do appreciate it when some of our younger believers come to us and they've run up against a difficulty and they say, well, how do you answer this? Now you can only give them answers by having given yourself to it and getting to know the Word of God and the mind of God. It may be simple to you, but it's not simple to them. Things that at one time would upset us and trouble us, why, we have no trouble handling them now. That same man, one time, he took this little hard-covered Bible that I always carried around with me, and he turned up and he read a little bit of the different accounts of the Lord's resurrection. And you know, it sounded to them as though the four records didn't agree at all. I didn't know how to answer them then. I wouldn't have any trouble now, whatever. And so you see, things that may apparently not seem to fit together, all we need to have is a little insight into the contextual setting of them. And we'll soon see that the whole thing all dovetails together perfectly because it is the Word of God, divinely inspired. And when holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote as they were moved, under the control of the Spirit of God, it was impossible for them to err. Therefore, the Holy Scriptures, given in their original form, brethren, there's no error in them, no possibility of it. And may God help us to realize that we can absolutely depend upon Holy Scripture. And so may the Lord help us then to realize that our safety from false teachings and delusions, and our safety from being sidetracked into excitement and emotionalism that's abounding today, is just simply to have our feet upon the Word of God and to take our refuge in the rock when we get into difficulty. Verse 27, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. You know, this is something that you might well wonder about. These locusts or grasshoppers, they just seem to have a built-in orderliness. Just like the birds in flight, you see these Canada geese flying over in the heavens and things like this, and how they can go in pattern together, and how they can go in hundreds sometimes, these little birds, and yet you never see them clashing into one another. And so the locusts are like that. And you know, they're not hermits. They're not isolationists, and no Christian can afford to be to hermitize or become an isolationist. Shut yourself in from everybody else and formulate your own opinions, and why you'll get so biased that nobody can do anything with you. Why we're meant to be among people. And here these locusts, why they go by the thousands together. A built-in orderliness about them. But there's unity there. And of course, those who are farmers and have farmed in the Midwest, they know what terrible havoc those creatures can do because there's so many of them together. You know, that reminds us, brethren, that we can accomplish a lot more together than we can on our own. And so thank God for fellowship among God's people. Fellowship in worship, fellowship in service, and fellowship together as His people by keeping together. And here there was that built-in orderliness. They were wise, and therefore they went forth by bands. We're always safer when there's a number together. People that are kind of isolationists, you know, they don't get on too well because God doesn't intend us to be like that. We need the cooperation, we need the fellowship, we need the intercourse of one another in spiritual things so that we can grow and develop. And this is something that is terminated here as wise, exceeding wise, is to go forth in unity and in harmony together. Verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. You know, the women folk, they have a terrible dread of spiders. I think maybe more than they have of mice, and that's saying something. But whenever there's a spider around our place, there's no rest until it meets us then. And I understand the word here, the Hebrew word here is a poisonous spider at that. One that everybody would be afraid of, and yet, what's so wise about that creature? You think about these spiders, I don't know whether it would be what we call a black widow spider or not. People are terrified of them, maybe they have a right to be. But be that as it may, the poisonous spider here taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. I suppose it doesn't matter much to the spider, whatever is handy, whether it's a bachelor's shack or whether it's a king's palace. whatever is available. But when you think of the king's palaces and taking hold with her hand, the activity of the spider here is brought before us. And it suggested something to me in regard to the scripture where it says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold upon the hope set before us, just with the tenacity of a spider. In other words, brethren, the king's palace, why, that spider was just making use of the very best that was available. Are you and I satisfied with anything less than God's best? Oh, we think of the things that we can lay hold of. Don't lay hold on our brother like Jacob taking our brother by the heel, because, you know, that's not becoming. The sad thing, you know, when brethren can come together and sit together and so on, and yet we wouldn't perhaps even shake hands with one another. That's not the way to live. But here is a spider laying hold upon divine things, laying hold upon the best that's available. And let us tell you, after all the years of experience, brethren, that the very best that's available in spiritual things is found among the people of God who gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. People that go by the book and are prepared to open the book and be guided by its precepts. Oh, I trust the Lord will inspire our souls with a real desire to know more about this book. You know, when some people get saved, especially when they reach middle life, I know one or two, and why they almost ruin their health. Because they neglected everything and they just devoured the Word of God to get a hold of it tenaciously. And I trust the Lord will just stir our hearts indeed that we're going to get to know God's Word and to love it and to enjoy it. Oh, what a treasure we have in Holy Scripture. Brethren, I trust we'll have the wisdom of these little creatures here, that we'll have the wisdom to seek spiritual sustenance, that we'll have the wisdom to fly to the rock for safety, the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture, upon which we can rest, and to the Lord Himself, in whom we can find security in times of doubt and difficulty, and that we'll be able to go forth in bands, go forth with the people of God, be found among the people of God, and make companions out of those that know the Lord and know His truth and know His word, and seek the welfare and the blessing of others as well. And then, like this spider, to lay hold on the king's palace. When you think about the king's palace, you think seriously of the presence of God among His people. We are children of God. There's nowhere on earth and you can sense and enjoy the preciousness and the blessedness of the presence of God, such as there is in the assembly of His people. We know that is true, not only at the breaking of bread and eating, but on other occasions too. But oh, we think of those holy conversations when we get a sight of the Lord, and when the hearts of God's people are rising spontaneously, and we can feel the presence of God among His people. The Lord help us then to realize our safeguards are in the Scriptures, in the assembly, and speaking by the grace of God, there is peace and glory upon His own good works.